So I started praying there in my quiet time and thinking of the healthy families. And so I wrote down all the traits and skills and leadership qualities that were in the healthy kids. And I showed it to Bill when he came home. And the list is in 10 best decisions a parent can make. It's like 100 things long. That day, I was very overwhelmed. And I'm like, look at all this stuff.
Which isn't that how a lot of us feel as parents?
Oh,
we're
yeah.
We're just overwhelmed. We look at all that needs to be done in this kid's lives, and we just, like, how am I ever going to get it done? Why did God trust me with this? It's impossible.
That's a comment made on the last Focus on the Family broadcast about parenting and how you can really lean into some of those challenges and how you can decide to do some things proactively to help your child really succeed in life. Your host is Focus President and author Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller, and Jim, Bill, and Pam Farrell are back with us. They have such great insights and a lot of energy, too.
Absolutely. And the thing that I love is the wisdom that they possess. I mean, putting it to scripture, of course, Bill's background, both Bill and Pam working with kids in church as youth leaders and speaking as they've done, the 40 books that they've written. I mean, they've got a lot of wisdom. So I am anxious to get back to the discussion. Mm-hmm. But let me speak to you. If you have a child cradle to college, this discussion's for you. It's really about how to do a good job, not a perfect job, but how to do a good job parenting your child to get them ready to launch. And you're right there with Gene and me and with John and Dina. You know, we've got kids at home, as you do, and this program is really for you. And if you're a grandparent, man, think about what we're talking about today. Get the CD, give it to your kids, and say, you need to know this stuff because we want our grandkids to be as healthy as... Now, you may want to not shout that at them. Maybe do it over a cup of coffee and, you know, how grandparents do. I wouldn't know that yet, but first of all, let me welcome both Bill and Pam Farrell back to the program.
Thank you so much. Hey, we are grandparents
I know.
Now.
So how do you go about doing that as a
you
grandparent?
You know, the wonderful thing is our son and daughter-in-law invited us out of coffee and thanked us for parenting and asked us to be a part of their parenting team.
Wow.
How wonderfully proactive.
Well, that is great. Now, there might be some coffee chats that go a little differently, like, Mom and Dad, we need you to get out of the way.
Exactly. And you know what? We need to receive and hear that as well. To be a good partner, as a grandparent, we need to say, what is my best role, and have that role defined and offer some alternatives and offer some options and see what our grown kids are comfortable with. Because you know what? This is the time to enjoy the fruit. We don't have to do everything now. We get to do the fun stuff, hopefully.
And it's good to ask, isn't it? I like that idea. Ask them what you can do to help support them in raising their children. I mean, that's awesome.
And I would say to anybody who's going to ask the question, accept the answer.
Now, that's a little harder for grandparents.
That's way harder because we want to argue with it or correct it, or, well, if they would just listen to our wisdom. And we need to leave all that at home and just say thank you for sharing.
I love that old adage that goes, you know, why do grandparents and grandkids love each other so much? It's because they have a common enemy. Think about it if you don't get it right off. It's the kids and the parent.
That's right.
But you guys, we talked last time about so much good stuff. We talked about character development. I want to start there again because especially in Christian homes, that's so much of the discussion. After the kids are down in bed and Mom and Dad go to bed, it's the pillow talk. And it usually goes something like this. Honey, speaking from the wife to the husband, I need more of your help in the spiritual development of the kids. I know you're busy, but they need their father to talk to them about the Lord. How do we begin to create a plan? And that sounds exhausting. Create a plan for our kids' spiritual development. Can't we just do it kind of off the end of a napkin here and write it down? Does it have to be a plan?
It does work better as a plan. I mean, that's kind of how it came out in our life. Is Bill was that youth pastor, and I showed him a list of 100 character qualities I thought needed to be in our kids' lives. And I said, this is a lot of stuff. How do we do it? And Bill said...
Well, there's three categories that trait falls in. We want them to be learners, leaders, who love God. Mm-hmm. And what I would say to you, Jim, about your opener is we do want to have a plan, but we want to simplify it. One of the mistakes we see parents make is they get too complicated with their approach to parenting. It overwhelms them, and it certainly overwhelms their kids. Because kids are pretty simple in the way they approach life. And so we put together this plan for developing character in our kids' lives, which I would say to parents, that really is your primary goal. But like, there's a lot of stuff you could get involved in with your kids. But the primary goal is to give them the character to develop their own lives as they grow up. And so if you can figure out a simple plan for doing that, it'll make parenting easier on you and it'll make it more effective in the kids' lives.
And so learner, leader, love, God. Those are three main traits that we want in our kids' lives. And so I thought, what would, you know, honey, what would make it fun? Because I don't want our kids to think they're born into like feral boot camp. So what would make it fun? Well, presents, yeah, like Christmas or birthday. So we have a learner leader day once a year right before school starts where we negotiate privileges and responsibilities. We have a learner leader chart that people can download at LoveWise, and we'll put it on your website if you'd like, and where you negotiate privileges and responsibilities, and there's a list of what kids can do at different ages and stages, like, Mom, you're not the maid. Dad, you're not
the butler. There.
That's right. Our kids need to be, like, earning their own way and learning some of these skills, and they can do a lot more than you think. And we want them – my goal was to have my daughter-in-laws love me someday because I was had raised good husbands. Yeah. And so learner leaders that love God. And we choose one character trait off of that list.
Which is the key to this, is you choose one character trait at a time.
Per year, per kid.
One per year.
So, for instance, this year we're working on initiative. And as a parent, you can tie everything you want to work on with your kids to initiative. Mm-hmm. Next year we're working on honesty. And if you choose one, everybody knows what the target is, and nobody's overwhelmed by it. And I would say to parents, if you develop one character trait in your kid's life this year, it's like a magnet. It will draw others to it, and they will develop other character traits just by the process of working on this one.
And wow. So we would choose the character quality that we thought that child needed after much prayer. You know, we would pray together what we saw growth and development needed to happen in that child in that year. And then we would take them to like BibleGateway.com or Logos Bible Software, and we would encourage them to choose a verse
for the year that
mm-hmm. they wanted mom and dad to pray over them. And we posted that verse on everything they owned that year. Mm-hmm. So they would see it often. And that became the focus for that child for that year. I'll give you an example. One of our kids was kind of rough around the edges, you know, used his shirt for a napkin, you know, a sleeve for a Kleenex. And we're like, no woman ever's going to marry you. So
just the sleeve. That's pretty good. Yeah. Look at the arm and the hand as the Kleenex. That's where we're at.
So his trait that year was be a gentleman. Mm-hmm. And so I did exactly be a gentleman. And so I did all of the Miss Manners kind of things with him all year, and table manners, which fork to use and all that. And
did that all work, by the way?
Yeah, it took a while. Okay, so here's the outcome. So, you know, Zach, you walk on the outside, so the car hits you, not the girl. You know, that kind of stuff that you teach your kids.
The car hits you, yeah. And not the girl.
That's the gentleman.
Now, most boys are going, why do we do that?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
And I would say to you during that year, that there wasn't an enthusiastic buy-in, like, thanks so much for teaching me. This is awesome.
Right.
He reluctantly worked through all of it.
But we had a science fair coming up, and he's like, Mom, you hate it when I burp, and I'm supposed to be a gentleman this year, so what if my science fair project is on what makes you burp, and then I'll quit doing it? I'm like, great call. And so he won the whole school science fair with that project that year. And after the science fair, there's a party for like a birthday party. So my two older boys went to this birthday party. Well, there weren't enough chairs for the moms. But Zach remembered, you're supposed to stand up and give the moms your chairs. So he elbows the older brother and my boys stand up to offer their chair. Well, my friend Tammy, she didn't take the chair. She ran straight to her cell phone and she's like, Pam, I think there's hope. Zach might get married someday. So it takes a while, but eventually they catch on.
And again, developing character, it's a challenging process. Like, kids don't wake up in the morning and say, I want to become stronger today. I want to become better today. I want to become a better person. No, you have to work this into their life. And so staying diligent with it and staying at it for a period of time gives them the message that, you know what? My parents are going to – they're serious about this. They're staying at this until I learn.
And we wanted to celebrate them on Learner and Leader Day. So we chose a gift, a Learner and Leader gift, that applauded the uniqueness that we saw God building into their life. For example, one of our boys early on figured out he's great at sports. So some of his learner leader gifts, we want our learner leader gift to be three things. We want it to be personal. I thought of you, child. We want it to be practical, something we would buy anyway, not a big cost
to
your family,
family budget.
And we want it to be prophetic or speak to the promise or potential of that child. So he's great at sports. So, you know, a gym bag with a verse on it like Excel Still More or maybe Sports Spectrum, which is kind of like Sports Illustrated, but without the swimsuit edition. You know, those kind of poster of a Christian athlete that had been signed to him. And he comes to us and he says, Mom and Dad, the kids at my school, they like have dreams on their hearts, but they don't have the self-discipline to get there. And I'm thinking that maybe they just need Jesus. And so what if we had some pizza parties for the kids? And so at our house, we invited all those teams over one at a time. And at the end of those three pizza parties, over 34 of his friends had come to know Jesus in a personal way.
Wow.
That's tremendous.
Brock and some of his friends founded Fellowship of Christian Athletes on that campus, which grew to be about 200 strong. And at the end of Brock's high school career, he was given an award called Knight of the Year, which is above valedictorian, and he was given Athlete of the Year award, and he ended up with a scholarship to Liberty University to be their quarterback. And now Brock is a coach at a high school teaching how to become leaders, developing character in the next generation.
Maybe your student or your child isn't athletic in that way. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they have some academic ability, but maybe they're just average kids. Did you have one of those?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, talk about that as well.
And we share that story because some people who are listening are raising natural leaders, and you need to harness their leadership ability. But if you have more than one child, I guarantee you have at least one that was difficult to
raise. Spirited, that's what I like to call it.
Yeah, like we had one kid that loved him to death, but he had the ability to get under my skin and irritate me. He seldom made sense to me.
And now you've got his permission to talk about this.
Oh,
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
He's actually told us. You tell my story and tell parents don't give up on your difficult kids. Because this is the kid that, but like all of us have that day in parenting that we pray our kids don't remember. And mine was with our middle son, Zachary. I don't even remember what he did, but I was so upset at him that he was actually on his bed. I was over him, and I was about to go out of control, and I saw the terror in his eyes, and I stopped.
Bill said, "He's yours, Pam. I'm walking away."
And I just had to walk. I had no parenting skills left at that point for this kid. I just had to walk away. And that was kind of normal with him. He was always doing stuff that was irritating and frustrating and was unnecessary.
And so he was our child that is ADD, ADHD. So he struggled with school. We were doing the whole learner leader thing, and he was coming right along. And until he was about eight, he started spiraling down. Bad attitudes, bad grades, just really negative. And so both Bill and I began to pray. What do we do with this kid? We've tried like everything. We've done all the cool little star charts and like all the positive reinforcement. We've done everything we've ever heard on Focus on the Family. We're like, I can't do this.
It's not working.
And so one day, he wasn't very verbal, and he had a medical issue that he couldn't control. And so he had this underlying anger. And one day I walked in, and he was beating up his brothers again. And I'm like, Zachary, honey, this is inappropriate. You need to go upstairs. Mama, come talk to you. Well, he ran upstairs. He knocked all the pictures off the wall. He slammed the door. He picked up a baseball, put it through the door, hole in the door as I walk in.
Oh my.
And I'm like, Zachary, honey, you cannot do this. If you're upset, you've got to learn to use words. Because I'm thinking in my mind, no woman in her right mind is ever going to marry you. You're going to live with me forever. Use your words. And he put his hands on little 8-year-old hips. He's like, you want words? Well, I hate myself and I hate my life. And if God made me, I hate him too. And I said, just a minute. And I just ran downstairs. I threw myself across the bed and I prayed, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a pastor's wife. I'm a director of women's ministry. I write all these Christian books, and I'm raising this little wild man of an atheist upstairs. I could use some help here. Lord, I know that every person is a treasure. Your word says, you know, in Psalms that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and in Jeremiah that you knew before Jeremiah was born that he would be a prophet. So every kid's a unique kid. They're a treasure. But I can't see the treasure, and Zach's not seeing the treasure. Help me help Zach see the treasure. So I called Bill on the phone. I'm like, honey, this is my idea. Like, the Holy Spirit just whispered that Zach's a treasure. What if we draw a treasure map and I'll take it upstairs and we do a treasure map with Zach? So I drew up this treasure map. I took it upstairs. And I'm like, Zach, you are a treasure to the world, I said by faith. And you and your daddy and God and I are going to go on this treasure hunt. And every day I'm going to ask you two questions. What's one thing you did well? And what's one thing positive about your day? And we're going to write it down on the treasure map. And we're going to look for the repeating pattern that God has laid in your life, because you are a treasure to the world, son. And so, Zach, what do you think of the idea?
And in typical 8-year-old fashion, he said, this is stupid.
So, Zach, what's one thing positive about your day?
Nothing.
Zach, I can think of something. You're alive, meaning I haven't killed you yet, kid. It's a miracle. And so we wrote, Zach is alive. That was day one. But then this amazing thing started happening. He started bringing the chart, to the treasure map to us, and started writing down all the positive things about himself and his day.
He caught it.
And some of the things that we found out at the end of that time, we saw a repeating pattern that it all had to do with people. He loved people. Yeah, kind of threw us off track because he was beating everybody up. But people was the key to unlock Zach's heart. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a treasure. When I say to Zach, what is your one thing that you want to tell moms and dads that have had it up to here? He's like, keep looking for the treasure. Mom and dad, you might be the only one looking.
Right.
Wow. Because that's powerful.
Because every kid was made for a purpose. Like, theologically, we know that. God didn't create filler. So nobody has a kid that's just there to take up space. They're here for a reason. Mm. But finding that reason, it is tough because kids are at war with themselves, and we live in a world that's harsh on people. And so helping them find that treasure that's in them can be a challenge. But once they do find it and they realize it for themselves, it's amazing what can turn in a kid's life.
And, you know, a couple of years ago, he got down on one knee and asked, beautiful Kaylee, will you marry me? And the girl said yes. So the boy did get married one day too.
Despite your concerns early on.
How do you trust the Lord and let go and let God begin to work in our child's life in a way that allows them to grow into that healthy Christian young man or young woman?
I was involved in Moms in Prayer all the way growing up, and my kids growing up years. And I think having a network of praying people around your child is one way you can trust, because then you're putting the ball in God's court. You're not all alone in it.
The things that we did that seemed to be effective is, first of all, when our kids got to be teenagers, we kept them busy in worthwhile pursuits. Mm-hmm. Because kids learn socially, especially as teenagers. And so we wanted them involved with groups of people that we knew would give them positive feedback. Second thing is we made positive statements to them. We would say things to them like, I know when you're going out with your friends tonight, I know you're going to operate this way because I've seen it in your life.
I know tomorrow when we see that young lady's family at church that you're taking out on a date, they're going to thank us because you are such a man of integrity and character. I know we're going to get a great report. So we parented by faith, by speaking not what we saw, but what we believed God was going to make.
That's really critical, because it makes you act differently toward your child.
It does.
A parent that's very discouraged right now, you get into this loop of condemning them.
Yes.
And you keep that mantra going, and then before long, they believe it.
They start living it out.
I don't measure up. It's what that shame-based kind of parenting does to a child. Mm-hmm. Talk about the hazards of that.
Let me share the third one, because I think it ties right in. The third thing that we did is we prayed that if our kids were doing something unhealthy, that God would cause them to get caught.
Mm-hmm. So you can correct it.
Yeah.
And to do that, you have to be brave enough as a parent to take your ego off the table. My children's behavior is not a reflection on me. Mm-hmm. They need to own their own life. And that is hard for us helicopter parents who want our kids to look all great, so we're looking all great. But we have to be willing to let them fail sometimes and so they can fail forward in life. Right. That same amazing coach now that's training hundreds of young men, Brock, he had a day in high school that he made a significant error in leadership. And his FCA coach, counselor, person, sponsor called him out on it. And he was broken. I had to take him to the doctor for another reason. And he was in tears. This boy who never cried, who was the starting quarterback, who was tough as nails, cried 30 minutes to the doctor and 30 minutes back. and I let him do it. Mm-hmm. And instead of like, what can I do to help? I simply said, Brock, let me pray with you. Mm-hmm. Are you open to that? Yeah, Mom. And I'm just going to pray that God would lead you and God would show you what you need to do in order to fix this situation. Mm-hmm. God will lead you. Daddy and I have made mistakes in our leadership and I shared a few. So I know he's going to lead you. I wasn't going to run in and talk to those kids on that campus, and I wasn't going to run in and meet with that, you know, sponsor. Brock was a leader. I needed to let him be a man at that situation. Mm-hmm. And we have to, as parents, be willing to let our kids learn. And sometimes it's learning through pain that makes them that great leader later on.
Well, and it's very difficult to do as a parent, mm-hmm. especially in the Christian community, because we want to project some kind of perfection. Mm-hmm. That just isn't there. We talk about that often when we are talking about parenting. Mm-hmm. And we've got to get more to reality because also people will see that. And other parents will say, okay, they're making it through. And it gives you an opportunity to help mentor others when there are things not working perfectly. Life isn't perfect. And I think it's important for us to remind ourselves about that. In fact, one of the critical points in marriage can be when you're parenting with that helicopter mentality, when you're over-controlling and the kids are acting out, it can begin to put a strain on your relationship as a couple. Mm-hmm. And the dialogue typically goes like, we're failing as parents, or worse, you're failing as a father, or you're failing as a mother. Talk to us as couples for the next few minutes just about how to protect your marriage in this parenting endeavor and don't charge each other with failure. How do you encourage each other to do better?
Well, first of all, raising kids, it is the toughest challenge on earth. And so as parents, we need to give each other a little bit of room and say, you know, we're in this together. And our goal is to get these kids raised to be the kids they're supposed to be. So that's first thing. Second thing is, as parents, if you can set goals for your kids, because these critical conversations tend to take place because we don't have any agreed upon goals.
Mm.
So if I was to use Pam and I as an example, Pam has expectations for our kids. I have expectations for our kids. If we haven't negotiated those into goals, we're just going to fight over the expectations. And so sitting down as parents and saying, really, what are our goals for our kids? And are they realistic? Because if you have goals set together, you'll buy into it and you'll move forward. And if you're really not sure, especially if you're raising teenagers, it's okay to ask them. Like, what do you think our goal should be
for you? It sounds counterintuitive, but it's a good thing to do.
It does. But again, they're always thinking about their life. And so sometimes you gain insight from your kids that you can't find in the pressure of being a parent.
And sometimes you need to trust your spouse because maybe that child is wired a lot like them. And Bill really trusted me. I am very social. I was super strong-willed. Ask my mom. I was like grounded for half my life. And so when it came to our strong-willed son, Bill trusted my intuition and my Holy Spirit leadership. Now, our third son, I mean, it's like Bill in stereo. That
pretty
boy,
awesome.
He is an incredible young man. He's brilliant. He's an engineer working on his master's degree right now. So I don't get him at all. I almost failed math. So I have to trust Bill's instincts in raising precious Caleb and letting Caleb fly because he's wired so much differently than me. I have to honor Bill.
He's the one that gets stubborn. If you push him in a direction he honestly believes he shouldn't be going, he just digs his heels in.
Yeah.
And Pam's instinct is to push harder.
On Bill and Caleb.
And yet I get what he's doing. And so instead of pushing him harder, that's the time to pull him aside, reorient his goals to because once you turn Caleb, he takes off.
Yeah.
But if you try to push him in a direction he knows he's not supposed to do, he doesn't verbalize. He just gets stubborn.
So you got to ask him the right questions.
Yeah.
Well, we have really hit some great, great topics. And I know people have been blessed and helped. I know I have. I know you have too, John.
I have been, yes.
And, you know, you've talked about getting a plan together. Mom and dad, mm-hmm. so you know where you're going. Don't live on each other's expectations and you end up fighting. Mm-hmm. Pull the plan together. Talk mm-hmm. about it. You have resources to do that at your website. We'll mention the website here in a moment. People can go there and download what they can. The value of teaching your children about being a learner, a leader, and loving God. I like that. Mm-hmm. That's simple. Mm-hmm. picking one thing to teach him during the year. Yeah. I'm going to do that this year. Now, Gene and I need to agree on what that one thing will be, but also trusting God for the outcome. I think these have been very helpful tools, all captured in your book, The 10 Best Decisions Every Parent Can Make. You guys have done a great job here. I'm going to pursue it, and I hope many, many other parents will as well. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Jim. And I would just encourage every parent out there to just take a deep breath and remember God's on your side in this venture.
And That's right. It pays off. There's a payoff. I mean, now as grandparents, to hear my kids, Brock and Hannah, raise our grandkids, honey, I want you to obey right away, all the way with a happy heart. And to hear those grandkids sing like, sing with me, Nana. Ho wee, ho wee, ho wee. There's a payoff on those days that you feel like you can't go on, Mom and Dad. Think long term. God is with you.
And that's a legacy.
Mm-hmm. What a wonderful conclusion to our two-day conversation with Bill and Pam Farrell on Focus on the Family as they talked about their book, The 10 Best Decisions Every Parent Can Make. And you can get a copy of that and a CD or download of everything we've discussed these past couple of days at focusonthefamily.com/radio or call 800, the letter A and the word family, 800-232-6459.
Well, and I really want to recommend you get the Farrell's book. It is so encouraging. No matter what stage of parenting you're in, you're going to find help there. And we can put a complimentary copy in your hands if you send us a gift of any amount today. That's our way of saying thank you for helping us equip families like we've done today. If you can't afford it, contact us. We'll find a way to get it into your hands because becoming a better parent is important. And here's an extra incentive. Thanks to the generosity of some special friends, we have a matching gift this month, which means any donation you make to Focus on the Family will be doubled. So please, let us hear from you today. Make your $25 gift be a $50 gift, and so on. It is a wonderful way to help people in need.
And you can make that contribution at focusonthefamily.com/radio or when you call 800-232-6459, 800, the letter A and the word family. At the website, we've got a free parenting assessment for you. It's very easy, takes only a few minutes, and it identifies 7 traits that are essential for a healthy family and pretty much how you're doing in those areas. Well, coming up next time, we're going to hear from Dr. David Clark offering real hope to hurting marriages.
So you're in a situation like that with your marriage, it seems impossible. There's just no way out. Look what's happening. It's been years like this, and Satan is pushing, you're done. God may not be done, and it's not going to be done with that marriage. There's always a chance with God's help.
That's next time on Focus on the Family. And remember, when you get in touch, let us know how you're listening on our website, through our mobile app, or on our podcast feed. I'm John Fuller, and on behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, join us next time as we help you and your family thrive.
When Mike and Lisa attended a Focus on the Family conference, they felt God's call to become foster parents.
For me, it was seeing at the Wait No More conference, we really saw that it was God's heart for the fatherless. And as Christ followers, what's my heart for the fatherless?
I'm Jim Daly. Together, we can bring real hope to real families like Mike and Lisa. And when you give today, your donation will be doubled. Call 800, the letter A, and the word family.